Hey friends, I'm so glad that you are here with us in this moment right now. Whether you are listening in on the Beloved City Church podcast, thanks for listening in. If you're participating online, whether you're YouTube or Facebook, welcome. Or maybe you're in person at your microchurch location on campus today, welcome again. No matter where you are on your faithing journey, whether you're new to Jesus or looking into faith, just exploring Jesus, or maybe you're a longtime Jesus follower, I believe today will be one more opportunity to help you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to take one more step toward truth about God, about faith, and about yourself. You ready for this today? Over the course of this current talk series that we've been on, Freedom Looks Good on You, I pray that you will be able to experience freedom like you may have never been able to experience yet. A freedom that moves you from barely surviving in your life to a life that is in Christ, that is truly thriving. That's my hope for you. Freedom does look good on you, my friend. Here's a scripture that we always kick off with. It's John 8, 32 and 36. It says this, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Verse 36, "And if the Son sets you free, friends, from sin, then become a true son and daughter and be unquestionably free." Jesus repeatedly teaches us that when we believe on Him, which believing is simply a posture of surrender, of acceptance, surrendering to receive His unfailing, everlasting, and cascading love for you and I, He gives you a gift of life, and it is filled with life to the fullest. So today we're going to unpack something different. We went through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and then the tree of life. But let's unpack the meaning of living in spiritual order today to discover what this means to helping us walk in freedom. All right, ready for this? I truly believe this, that when you begin to understand your spiritual order, which will provide a framework for living in the tree of life, this framework will help you and I to live with your spirit united with God and your soul and body living in submission to your spirit man. It's beautiful. Understanding the principles of spiritual order will help us conquer sin and shame in our lives and walk in holiness, which is being set apart for perfect purposes, and walking in freedom, friends. As believers, we really truly long to live in fellowship with God. Although this is our desire, life in fellowship with God does not come naturally for us. Since the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden, there has been this battle taking place, our humanity and naturally sinful nature that wars against our desire to be in a love relationship with God, to be set apart for His design to be holy. The Apostle Paul writes about this internal struggle that goes on between the desire to do right and the natural tendency to do wrong. Maybe we can learn something from him today. In the collection of books we call the Bible today, the Romans is in the Newer Testament portion of the scriptures, Romans 7 and 21 to 23. Let's read that just for a moment. If you've got your Bibles, can you open it up? Whether it be on your phone or paper edition, it's okay. If you don't have it, I'll read it for you. Romans 7, 21 says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." Sneaky, right? "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. I long to be like him. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." Yet, friends, I know we don't have to live captivated by the flesh and captivated by sin and shame. Jesus does provide a perfect way out. God, the creator of everything in this universe, including you and I, he designed and created us with three distinct parts. Let's read in Genesis 1, 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created man. Male and female, he created them." A beautiful picture of you and I being made in the image of the one true God, the fullness of the Godhead revealed to humanity through Jesus. Each of us created with a spirit, a soul, and a body. These three distinct parts: a spirit that must be redeemed, a soul that must be restored, and a body that must live in surrender. See, at the moment of salvation, our spirit is made alive in Christ and immediately put into right standing with God. This is truly a free gift of salvation available to all mankind through faith in Christ. Romans 3 and 23 to 24 says, "For all have sinned." So nobody here in this room or listening has never sinned, but we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the perfection of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And in Romans 5, 1 to 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, the scripture reveals this moment of salvation event as justification. It's like, just as if I have never sinned. Justification. Peace with God. Access into his marvelous grace. However, we each know, or will come to learn, that the soul and the body require time and effort to be conformed to the likeness and image of Christ Jesus. This gradual process is called sanctification. I know, a big word, right? But we're going to unpack this today. God's plan is for our spirits to become the strongest part of our tri-dimensional design. For our spirit to be like the command center of who we are and what we do when anointed, or like we talked about a few weeks ago, empowered. That's what anointing means, empowered by the Holy Spirit. God completes this work of sanctification in us. So through faith, you are justified, just as if I've never sinned. I'm made righteous before God. But this process we go through is the complete work of sanctification completed by the Holy Spirit in us. 1 Thessalonians, another book, a letter, again, in the New Testament portion of the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, friend, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, he who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. He is faithful and will surely do this work in you, friend. Sanctify means to be set apart, which is where we get our word holy, to make something different and distinct. This is what Jesus is doing in us through the Holy Spirit, to make us different and distinct from the things of this world. For example, a dress is a dress. However, a wedding dress would be sanctified, set apart for a special and glorious purpose. That is like you and I, friends, set apart for a special and glorious purpose. Beautiful, sanctified. Our whole spirit, soul, and body preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. He truly is faithful to do this work. He will accomplish it in you. Thankfully, you don't have to live defeated on the account of self-reliance. That's the wrong tree. That's a tree of knowledge of good and evil, where I'm going to do this on my own without God. I can do this because I have this fruit of tree of knowledge of good and evil. But no, that's not what God has designed us to live. And we can be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. We don't have to live defeated on the account of self-reliance, but we can be surrendered to him, to allow the Holy Spirit to do this. God wants us to be set apart to him and by the Holy Spirit in us, not on your own power. Paul was saying, I will urge you to abstain from every evil. Yes, we do. But it's only on God's strength that you will actually be able to do this. That's why we need the Holy Spirit in us to complete that perfection in us, that sanctification in us, continue working in us, Jesus. Yet, to participate in this, we must also understand that our souls are also made up of three parts: the mind, the will, and the emotions. Most often, this is where our battlefield lies, in our soul. The soul enables us to experience relationships, to appreciate the beauty of creation around us, to think, to reason, and to express emotions. God formed our bodies from the earth, and this body acts as a temporary house or frame or shell that contains our soul and spirit. And we already know our bodies have appetites, both good and evil. And scripture warns us of permitting our humanity, our flesh, to get anything that it wants, and warns us to be careful of any sin that leads us to fulfill the desires of our humanity. Keeping our humanity, our flesh, in submission to our spirit allows us to live in spiritual order, in tune with the voice of God. This living in spiritual order brings us incredible benefits such as protection and spiritual growth and power to overcome these obstacles, those things we each engage in that just don't seem to give us life or to those around us. And when we make mistakes, Give in to temptations, which you will, my friend. The Holy Spirit teaches us, nudges us toward Christ's likeness. God does not condemn his children, his followers, but gives us the helper, the tutor, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, when we believe, to redirect our steps when we go off course. When we choose our will and way instead of the Jesus way, Holy Spirit says, hey friend, let me show you a new way. To walk in spiritual order, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost in our life. Our counselor, our friend, our coach, our guide, the one who leads us into and reveals to us all truth. Beautiful. Our spirit must be redeemed in good standing, no debt, our soul restored in union with God, and a body that must be in surrender, which is a process. I do get it. The letter to the church in Ephesians speaks into this truth of being in the process and how Jesus made provision for this process to take place. So let's look at the letter to the Ephesians in the book of Ephesians 4, verses 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ Jesus, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunningness, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. See, God desires us to be transformed into the fullness of his likeness and image, which was revealed to us through Jesus. Here and now, he wants this transformation in us, equipped by spiritual leaders and readied for good works and ministry to those around us. 2 Peter 3 and 17 says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." See, it doesn't just wait till eternity. It starts now. And even now as we live this out, it's giving glory to God both now and unto eternity. Being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. My encouragement to each of us, friends, in this moment is to continue to learn to hear his voice and to follow the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit, submitting yourselves one to another to be equipped, to be built up as the body of Christ, instead of being carried away in lawlessness and becoming unstable. 2 Corinthians 3 and 16, some more scripture for you today. I hope you're writing this down. 2 Corinthians 3:16. If not, you can always listen again. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We're no longer veiled from the freedom that God wants us to walk in. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Are you listening? This comes from Jesus who is living in you through the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 4, 19, Paul, like many spiritual leaders, understood that sanctification is a process. And many of you have learned this as well. He says this in Galatians 4, 19, "My little children, for whom I'm again in the anguish of childbirth." Well, we already know Paul wasn't going through childbirth, but he was in this anguish that felt like childbirth in his mind, "until Christ is formed in you, friends." Oh, yes. How long this process takes in your life and in my life will depend on our willingness to engage with the Word of God, accepting it as absolute truth, not subjectivity, friends. We don't want that. Absolute truth in our lives and applying it to all of our circumstances, in all of our rhythms and patterns and motivations, desires and passions. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, when we live unveiled lives, naked and unashamed, looking to him as our forgiver and our leader. This is allowing Jesus to be Lord over our lives, and this brings us freedom, friends. Freedom does look good on you. Can you, along with me, choose to abide in his presence? Let's break this down some more. Our spirit, soul, and body. The spirit, we each have a spirit that must be redeemed. Okay, did you know that you are a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience on earth rather than a physical being having a temporary spiritual experience? Remember, God's plan for us, His design for us, is that our spirits become the strongest part of our three-part design and to be the command center of our lives, of who we are and what we do and how we behave. Colossians 2 and 13 speaks into this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. Our sin condemned us. He has taken that away and He's nailed it to the cross. Wow, the blood of Jesus has forever purchased our capacity for relationship with God, for us to be in reunion with Him. This was the price Jesus paid so that we could be reconciled, restored back to, in reunion with God Himself, and have the fellowship that Adam and Eve once enjoyed, like we see in this passage in 2 Corinthians 5. So 2 Corinthians 5, and 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, friend. The old is gone away. That's why we participate in baptism. We bury that old man and we're risen to new life in Christ. Behold, the new has come. All this from God, not from our own works, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us this message of reconciliation. What a message of hope, that we can be restored back into reunion and relationship with God because of the work of Christ Jesus. The moment we are saved, we are made alive in Christ and forever redeemed, made righteous before the Father and gifted the gift of eternal life. We receive the Holy Spirit and immediately we have the ability to be in relationship with God, my friend. The cross of Christ is bridging heaven and earth, bridging the chasm between death and life, giving us a way to have fellowship, communication, and access to life abundant in Christ. Just as a bride and groom, we are united in matrimony and become one in, at the point of salvation, your spirit and the spirit of Christ are united and we become one in the spirit. Beautiful. 1 Corinthians 6 and 17 says, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. Beautiful, friends. Ask yourself, how does knowing that my spirit is redeemed and in right standing with the Father change the way that I see myself? All right, let's talk about the soul. The soul. We have a soul that must be restored. The soul is one of God's most beautiful creations. It enables us to experience relationships and appreciate the beauty of the surroundings that we live in. We have been made in the image of God with the capacity to think, reason, and express emotions. Yeah, God made your emotions. It's amazing. God could have programmed us to do and be whatever He wanted, but instead, He gave us the ability to choose. Without free will choice, friends, true love cannot exist. God wants to have a true love relationship with you out of your free will. Our souls are made up of three parts. Okay, the first one is the mind which thinks and reasons. The second one, the will, which makes choices. And then the third one, the emotions, which believe, feel, and remember. The soul is like this handbasket that carries the mind, the will, and the emotions. Genesis 1:27, let's read again back to the beginning. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. We read this already. He created them. And in Genesis 2, we learn that God formed our bodies from the earth. This body acts as a temporary house or shell that contains this soul and spirit. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Here's the tension. The world around us is trying to find rest and restoration, unlike many of us here in this room, for their souls through varying methodologies and spiritual practices. Yet, we know we've come to learn through Scripture that the only rest for our soul is found in Jesus. Matthew talks about this and writes about this in Matthew 11, the words of Jesus. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden. Hey, are you feeling like you're labored and you're full of heavy burdens right now? He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ask yourself, where and how am I searching for rest and restoration in my life? Third one, the body. So we each, of course, have a body that must be surrendered. Psalms 139 and 14 says, you've probably heard this before, it's one of those quotes we hear a lot. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Mm-hmm. I have a body that is wonderfully designed, complex, and in need of surrender. To surrender, what do I do? Well, 1 Corinthians 6 and 18 gives us some amazing instructions. It says this, we're talking about surrender. What do? Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside of the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, friend, for you were bought with a price. So what? Glorify God in your body. See, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit when we believe. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was housed in the inner sanctuary of the temple called the Holy of Holies. But at the death of Jesus, this veil of the temple was torn, this veil that kept out you and I from the presence of God. But now that's no longer the case. And the presence of God moved out of the structure and now dwells in the hearts of all believers. Just as we would not go to church or some holy place and shatter the windows and destroy all the furniture, I implore you to not do anything that would intentionally harm your bodies. They are special. They're designed by God. You've been made in the image of God and given to us in order to carry out the plans that He has for us on this earth. Our bodies have appetites, if you haven't noticed, both good and bad. The Bible says to be careful of any sin that leads to our flesh getting anything we want, right? What we feed grows and what we starve dies. This is why, as Jesus followers, we engage in the practice of fasting. It's giving up something that we love for something that we love more. Jesus, hopefully, growing and improving in our disciplines of our spirit, soul, and body. Often people want to know how far they can go in sin and still enjoy the benefits of God's blessing. The problem with the snare of sin, this trap, is that it never satisfies. How often do we live our lives constantly looking to fulfill the next unsatisfying craving in our life? Whether it be in our sexuality, whether it be in our food, whether it be in our motivations and our passions. Carnal human desires cause us to need satisfaction. And though we may satisfy them in the moment, the craving soon returns and brings with it increased intensity. This cycle will repeat itself time and time again until we break it off by the power of the Holy Spirit, friends. We can live fulfilled in Christ Jesus, in His purpose and in His design. So ask yourself in this moment, are my actions driven by my cravings? 1 Corinthians 6 and 12 says, all things are lawful for me to do, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. What's dominating your life? Another real consequence of sin is this ripple effect. A filter for sinful actions can be as simple as asking, how will this action affect those around me? We can reflect on the consequences of sins, our behaviors, our actions, and how they might affect our spouses, our families, our places of work and play, and our friends. Do my actions cause another to stumble or to walk in offense? 1 Corinthians 8 and 9 says, this is from the Message Bible, Message Translation or paraphrase, reflects on the heart of the Father. It says, but God does... He does care when you use your freedom carelessly in a way that leads a fellow believer who is still vulnerable to those old associations to be thrown off track. He does really care how you use your freedom. So what do? We can engage in living our lives in a way that brings order. So spiritual order, ordered living. This is purposefully living in God's design in praxis. So we actually live this out. It's practice. Spiritual order providing this framework for living in God's purposeful design and the tree of life framework, it allows you to live with your spirit united with God and your soul and your body submitted to your spirit. In other words, your spirit, which is now one with God, calls the shots in your life and the soul and the body follow. So here's the real question. If I'm saved from sin, why do I struggle with sin still? The answer is found in the process of sanctification, which you talked about a little bit, and the principle of spiritual order. When we give our lives to Jesus, we receive everything we need for life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. Let's read what 2 Peter says. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We're talking about the Holy Spirit given to you, living in you, has granted to you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Oh my goodness, His divine power in you. But, okay, we may still struggle because our spirit is not in the lead sometimes, is it? What we give the most attention to will become the most influential in our lives. But our spirit can take the lead only if we feed it more than we feed our soul and body. Okay, friends, the world around us constantly feeds our souls through things that we see and hear. And our bodies, if starved, make it known that it's extremely hungry. If we withhold gratification from our souls and our bodies, they get really loud sometimes, don't they? Our spirit, on the other hand, when not fed, gets really quiet. When our body and soul is not fed, they get loud. And when our spirit's not fed, it gets quiet. We have to be intentional to feed our spirit man. Ask yourself, what am I doing to feed my spirit? Who's in control? Spirit, soul, or body? The soul and the body are complex and can often be confusing, especially since we are accustomed to them taking the lead. Early in our life, we learn to take instruction from our souls. We've all been the toddler who throws himself on the floor and demands his own ways. You have been, right? He, she is being led by his emotions when he holds his breath until the parent gives in to his demands. We might think in this moment that that only happens in the lives of children, but you and I as adults can still possess the same tendencies sometimes. We each have our own way of letting the soul lead us. But here are some scriptural truths that the Apostle Paul instructs us in Galatians 5. Let's read that. Galatians 5, 16. As you and I yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, friends, that is key. You will abandon the cravings of your self-life. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder Him from living free within you. And sometimes we got the Holy Spirit all bound up because our self-life is leading. The cravings that we have are leading us. Or we hinder the Holy Spirit from living freely within us. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So the Holy Spirit can hinder your old self-life from your domination. So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Holy Spirit. But when you are brought into the full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring high above it. Wow, beautiful. I encourage you to read it again, Galatians 5 and 16. Here are the works of the soul-led nature. So let's talk about it. Galatians 5 and continuing, verse 19 to 21. The cravings of the self-life are obvious, it says. Okay. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, crazy murders in there with all these other things that many of us are caught up in on a regular basis, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behavior. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? Wow. And in Galatians, it continues in chapter 6, in verse 7, says, make no mistake about it, friends. God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing that you harvest. You can't plant barley and expect wheat, my friend. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that was planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect to experience a harvest of corruption in your life. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. We're talking about living in spiritual order, friends. Freedom does look good on you. We can practice living in spiritual order. See, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us, as in Galatians 5:22. The fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life filled of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Wow, this Holy Spirit working in us is producing within us this divine love. In my daily living, friends, I can live in spiritual order, and it brings incredible benefits. I mentioned this earlier: protection, spiritual growth, and power to overcome obstacles in our lives. The opposite, living out of spiritual order, living outside of our design, is dangerous for us. When we allow our soul or body to lead, it opens a door for the enemy to operate in our lives, to dictate our lives. We are protected from the enemy when we choose to do things God's way and give control of our lives over to Him through the Holy Spirit, living in His purposeful design for us, living in the tree of life. Sometimes we self-sabotage, don't we? And we distance ourselves from God's plan when we fail or give in to temptation. Remember, shame, condemnation, a victim mentality, that's fruit from the wrong tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thinking. Wrong tree, friend. Get out of that tree. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you, to teach you, to bring you into truthful understanding. He does not condemn you, and godly sorrow for sin will lead us to repentance, which simply means to turn and go the other way from which direction I was just going. When you realize you're out of spiritual order, stop, drop, and roll, friends. Repent and make a new choice. Then walk in His cascading love and in His grace. A couple more scriptures for you. We're almost done here today. Romans 2:4. Do you presume in the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Remember, God's love and kindness, He is the God who came looking for Adam and Eve. We choose what to do with His grace and kindness. Staying in order, we can face decisions every single day, and we can stay in spiritual order. The choices we make dictate the lives we lead. So how do we make good decisions? Well, we can change the way we think. 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Knowing your identity is also a key to being led by the Holy Spirit. Think about who you are in Him and remind yourself of this. Again, in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, friends, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Jesus does provide a way, and He gives you the Holy Spirit through your faith, living in you to guide you, nudge you, prompt you. Oh, it's beautiful. To walk in spiritual order, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. He is our counselor, our friend, our guide, and the one who reveals all truth, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, start by getting to know Him. As you grow in your relationship with Him, Bible reading will become more enjoyable. Worship will become more intimate. Prayer will become more powerful in your life. Living in Christ, in His design, your relationship will become more tangible and exciting. When you're walking with Jesus, you are empowered to walk in freedom, friends. Life will be abundant and your purpose will be fulfilling. Wow. Jesus, we thank You. We thank You so much. Friends, will you pray with me for a moment? Jesus, thank You so much for dying on the cross and making a way for me to be in relationship with You. Thank You for absorbing my sin and shame that I give to You, that I release to You. I choose to receive this extravagant gift of life and ask You to come into my heart and be the Lord and leader of my entire life. In all my rhythms and patterns, my motivations and passions, I give You all of me and ask You to lead my life for Your glory. Fill me with Your Spirit and help me live the life that You died for me to live. Turn my eyes to You, my face to You, Jesus. I want to be in relationship with You. I want to walk hand in hand with You, Jesus. Holy Spirit, reveal and reconcile my areas in my life that are not living in spiritual order. I surrender my soul and my body to my spirit that has been redeemed by You. Help me to grow in my desires to spend time in Your word, in worship, and in prayer. following in your footsteps, Jesus. In Jesus' name, and everyone says amen, friends. Wow, freedom looks good on you. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer with me for the first time, and if you would like to declare publicly Jesus as your leader and forgiver, let us know. We would love to walk with you as you explore what it means to walk with Jesus and in fellowship with his body. If you would like to publicly declare your decision to follow Jesus by baptism, let us know. We want to walk that out with you. At Beloved, we are passionate about what God has called us to do, to grow a thriving and life-giving church in this city that makes an impact for eternity in us and in others around us. Will you take a step to partner your time, your energy, and money with us at Beloved to help us continue and grow the day-to-day ministry of Beloved City Church? Faith without works, friends, is dead faith. So let's work out our faith. Make it official. Join the family. Make it work. Serve on a team. Make it grow. Give of your money. We love you. We're praying for you. May Jesus reveal himself to you and through you in such a powerful way today, in Jesus' name.